We'll send you a free copy of the new Christmas Archbook, O Bethlehem. All you have to do is leave your answer to the question, Issues Etc., What Does This Mean?, on the Issues Etc. comment line before Friday, November 20th, 618-223-8382. Be sure to give us your first name and tell us where you're from. 618-223-8382. Issues Etc., What Does This Mean? 618-223-8382. Welcome back to Issues Etc. The first part of the Old Testament book of Daniel reads pretty much like a story. It's a series of stories that are in more or less chronological order, dealing with Daniel and his companions as they are under a various parade of kings and potentates. And then, right around Daniel 7, things kind of turn apocalyptic, dreamy, visionary, and then we get all sorts of strange visions, pictures, and, some of it's just quite bizarre. It's people have studied over it for decades, trying to make sense of what's happening in the last five chapters or so of the Old Testament prophet Daniel. Well, that's why looking at Daniel chapter 12, you might wonder, can we find Christ in there? Especially when it seems to be about someone else other than Christ. It says, at that time shall arise Michael, the great prince who has charge of your people, there in Daniel 12, verse 1. Is Michael Christ? We'll be answering that question and others as we find Christ in the Old Testament. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer joins us. He's pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico, and host of a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. Brian, welcome back.
Great to be here, Todd.
Let's deal with that first, because it talks about this great prince of the people arising at that time. We're talking about apocalyptic time here, and it's Michael. It's not Jesus. It's not my anointed. It's a great prince, Michael. Is Michael Jesus?
Yeah, and it's a fair question, but the answer is flat no. We need to be very clear on this. Jesus is not Michael. Michael is not Jesus. Michael is an archangel. Just because the name Michael, Mikael, means who is like God, it's not some kind of a cryptic message that this one is secretly God, but we don't know that. It would be just as silly as to look at Gabriel, who's also in the same book of Daniel, which the name means God's man. And, of course, Gabriel is the one who announces to the Virgin Mary of the Incarnation. And so if you want to be silly and say Michael is Jesus, well, then Gabriel would have to be Jesus, too, because this is talking about the God-man. Or even the archangel Raphael that we see in the Apocrypha in the book of Tobit, because Raphael means God heals. And, of course, you have the healing of the blindness of Tobit in that book. Well, this is what Jesus does. Of course, Jesus heals. By his wounds, we are healed. And he's the Son of Righteousness with healing in his wings. But this does not mean that Jesus is Raphael. It does not mean that Jesus is Gabriel. It does not mean that Jesus is Michael. Instead, the significance is that when Michael comes, this is going to show forth that day, that time of the incarnation, when God himself takes upon flesh and blood, when God is rejected by his own people, he is crucified, he dies, he's buried, he's resurrected, and he's ascended. And in the New Testament, where we see Michael most predominant, of course, is in the book of Revelation, in chapter 12, where Michael, who is like God, he is one who is fighting this spiritual battle against the devil, Satan. This word Satan, Satan, Hebrew word meaning accuser. And what does Michael do in chapter 12 of Revelation? Well, he throws out Satan. And this is connected to the person and work of Jesus. Now, of course, note that in chapter 12 of Revelation, you have Jesus as a separate being, a separate entity in chapter 12. He's the Christ child that's born of the Virgin that Satan is trying to destroy. Likewise, in the book of Daniel, you have the divine man that's separate from Michael himself. But what Jesus does is in his person, on the cross, his work is to judge this fallen world. As Jesus will say in John chapter 12, now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. Well, when does this happen? Well, when he is lifted up from the earth and he will draw all people to himself. So that this judgment takes place at the crucifixion. It's at the crucifixion that the ruler of this world, that is Satan, is cast out. So what does Michael do? Michael is like the bailiff. He's the one who's telling Satan, okay, you need to get out of here, and he's the one who's throwing him out of heaven, because no longer does Satan have a seat in the divine council. No longer does Satan have the authority to accuse us of sins. So Michael is a picture for us of when all of this is taking place. In the book of Revelation, of course, is that picture of the ascension of Jesus when he sits on his throne, and all of these things of the time, that time, are taking place.
So rolling back just a few words there in the same verse, you say we can also find Christ in the phrase, at that time. What do you mean by that?
Well, just in these few verses here, you have right in verse 1, it's at that time. It's at that time your people shall be delivered. It's that time. It's the end time, the latter days, in that day. It's the time of the coming kingdom. It's the time of the coming king in the incarnation. Paul will say this in Galatians chapter 4, that it is at the fullness of time he had come, that God had sent forth his son born of the virgin. So all of this is pointing toward the incarnation, this birth, this death, this resurrection and ascension. And all of the whole image of the at that time, of course, is taking place in the book of Revelation. So that's why there's a lot of connections between Daniel and the book of Revelation. It doesn't mean that we're still waiting for that time. We are living in that time, in these latter days, where the incarnation has already happened. So that is a reference to the time in which God will bring his kingdom, in the time of the crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension.
So there's also, you say, and this is an unlikely spot to think about finding Christ, there's also Christ in this time of trouble. What does he say here? There shall be a time of trouble such as has never been since there will be a nation till that time. And Christ is in there as well?
And this is the same terminology, same language that Jesus himself will pick up in Mark chapter 13 when he's talking about the culmination of all of this coming kingdom and how it's made manifest, and the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple that will be destroyed, and of course the temple of his body that will be destroyed in 3 days rise again. And this is where Jesus will say in Mark chapter 13, it's in those days there will be such tribulation as has not been from the beginning of creation that God has created until now, and it never will be again. And Jesus is picking up this same kind of terminology, this language, to say that time is now. It is in the incarnation. It is in the crucifixion. It's in the resurrection. It's in the ascension. And so therefore, when John in his apocalypse, his revelation, when he's writing about the ascension of Jesus, as all of this has taken place, that he sees the Lamb who has been slain since the foundation of the earth, he picks up that same language again in Revelation chapter 16, that there's going to be these earthquakes, this lightning, this rumbling, all of these things will be happening, and Babylon, which is the epitome of all these earthly kingdoms trying to oppose God's kingdom, will be overthrown. And it'll be a time like this it had never been before. Because now all of these mountains of the earth will be brought down low. That's the kingdoms of the earth, and there will only be one kingdom that will rise up, and that, of course, is God's kingdom. And Daniel will end on that note that it will be a time like you've never seen. But then he immediately goes right after that into, but at that time, your people shall be delivered. So this is the key, that when Christ comes to bring his kingdom, he brings this deliverance, this salvation.
Now, that word deliverance, you find a connection with the prophet Joel, and really a kind of an idea of salvation as well.
Yeah, this is the same word that's picked up in Joel chapter 2, this Hebrew word malat. This is to deliver, to escape. This is what's taking place in Joel chapter 2. The coming kingdom is in this way. When the Christ is crucified, he's rejected, he dies, he's resurrected, and he's ascended, he will pour out the Holy Spirit. That's Joel chapter 2, that he's going to pour out the Holy Spirit. This happens, of course, on the day of Pentecost, and you have this in Acts chapter 2. And what's taking place in Acts chapter 2 when the Holy Spirit is poured out? Well, the people in Jerusalem are saying, what must we do to be saved? And the answer, of course, is to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And this is how you call upon the name of the Lord Jesus, when you're baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's calling upon the name of Yahweh, and then you will be saved. You will be delivered. You will escape. And that escape begins there at Jerusalem. It begins with the holy people of God that are gathered around the risen Lord in word and sacrament. And then it will extend to Judea, to Samaria, to the ends of the earth. It will go to all nations. So this verb to deliver, to escape, is specifically tied to the events of the ascension when Jesus pours out the Holy Spirit and we have the gift of baptism and the promise of the Holy Spirit in the waters of regeneration, this washing of renewal with the Holy Spirit.
The first verse also says, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book, kind of cryptic saying, what would you fill in here by way of other biblical information to help us understand Christ in this phrase?
Well, it's not just an abstract concept of a book somewhere, but it's a very concrete, incarnational, if you will, book, a real physical book. But it's not just any book, it's the Lamb's book of life. So you can't have a book of life without the Lamb that gives life. And that, again, we see this direct connection and correlation between Daniel chapter 12 in the book of Revelation, where you have the Lamb who has been slain since the foundation of the earth, but he stands and he is on the throne and he reigns. And it's by his blood that we are made the people of God. So in the book of Revelation, it'll pick up this theme quite a few times. You'll see this in chapter 3 of Revelation, that the one who conquers will be clothed in white garments, and I will never blot his name out of the book of life. Well, who's talking? Well, it's the Son, the resurrected, ascended Lord. He says, I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. And this is that book, right away, the book of life that he's talking about in Revelation chapter 3. And then you move on to chapter 13, and you have this, the contrast between those who are written in the book of life of the Lamb versus those other ones, that this has been taking place since the foundation of the world, because that's when the sacrifices happened. God is eternal, of course. And you'll see this later on in Revelation chapter 20, where John says that I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. Well, that's what Daniel's referring to, this great many multitude of people who will rise up from the dust and awake, and they will be judged. And so John says, I see them before the throne, and books were open, and then another book was open, which is the book of life. This is the Lamb's book of life. And then he goes on to say in chapter 20 of Revelation that anyone's name that was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. And then, of course, Revelation, the next chapter, goes on to say that there will be nothing that is unclean will ever enter again into this city of God, this Mount Zion, the place where the Lamb is, nor will anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. And what you have in Daniel chapter 12, that's a sealed book, we see that the seal is broken, and it is revealed in the New Testament, in particular, in the book of Revelation. You have this whole image that this book of life is the Lamb's book, and you cannot have life unless the Lamb dies and he rises again to give you life.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. Our series, Christ in the Old Testament, continues on the other side of the break. About another 10 minutes with him. We're going to actually do a little softball on the other side, because here we have, many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. That's the resurrection. We'll find Christ in it right after this.
It is the greatest adventure you could ever possibly imagine. It's demanding, it's hard, it's challenging, and what a blessing it is.
Dr. Larry Rast, president of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, on why a man should consider the vocation of pastor.
And it is an incredible blessing to be honored with the opportunity to work with these incredible young men and older men as well, who are committing themselves to the proclamation of God's word, the right distinction of law and gospel, and to take the good news of Jesus Christ into all the world.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, forming servants in Jesus Christ who teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all.
Education and edification. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Standing firm in a hostile world is the theme of the San Antonio Biblical Worldview Conference, February 5th and 6th. This confessional Lutheran conference features Issues Etc. guest Adam Francisco, David J. Weber, Joe Abrahamson, attorney Mark Stern, and Professor Alan Quist. If you are in Texas or would like some warmer weather in February, check out the San Antonio Biblical Worldview Conference, February 5th and 6th at faithlutheransa.org, faithlutheransa.org. Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Our series, Christ in the Old Testament, Daniel chapter 12 is the text. We're talking about the time of the end. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. Brian, the verse that we're going to occupy for about the next 10 minutes or so here, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. You wanted to focus first on the word many. Why?
Well, we want to be very clear what the word many means. Because you have in the New Testament, like in Matthew chapter 20, that the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Or later on in Matthew 26, in which he takes the cup of the New Testament in his blood and he says, drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the Testament, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Now, so first we want to be very clear, and this is a great opportunity to understand that this is not talking about limited atonement. The many doesn't mean a few. It doesn't mean just the elect and not all. So we need to be very clear on the biblical usage of the word many. Many does not mean a little bit. The whole point of many is that many means a multitude. That's the whole significance of this word. And you can see this brought out clearly in Isaiah chapter 2, which talks about that mountain of God, this kingdom of God that will rise up higher than all the other mountains, these earthly kingdoms. And when this happens, all the nations shall flow to it, and many people shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of Yahweh. And here in the Hebrew, you have this parallelism between all the nations and many peoples, that you're talking about this multitude. And even the terminology of all the nations, you get this in Mark's gospel for the reading for this Sunday, too, that all these things won't happen until all the nations hear the gospel. What it doesn't mean sequentially, each nation, but it means the Gentiles, the conversion of the multitude of those outside of the people of Israel who have the word of God. But here you have this connection directly to all nations and to many people. This is the multitude. So this multitude will rise up from the dust of the earth. Now, even that terminology of dust is showing forth this humiliation. These mountains in Isaiah chapter 2, they rise up and they exalt themselves. Well, they will be humbled and they will be made low. They will be brought down into the dust. Dust is, of course, this imagery of humiliation, to humanize you, to realize that you are mortal and you shall die. From dust you came and to dust you shall return. And this language then of the dust is to be brought low. In fact, in Isaiah 26, you have this this language for he has humbled the inhabitants of the height, the lofty city, and he lays it low and lays it to the ground and cast it to the dust. That's Isaiah 26. But then in the same chapter of Isaiah, you have this reversal. Then your dead shall live. their bodies shall rise. You who dwell in the dust, awake and sing for joy, for your dew is a dew of light, and the earth will give birth to the dead. A very similar passage in Isaiah 26 to what's going on here in Daniel chapter 12. Well, of course, we also know that in Isaiah chapter 25, the previous chapter, it's on the mountain of God, he's going to swallow up death. And this is what Jesus has come to do in the incarnation, that in his death, he puts death to death. And this whole rejoicing in his resurrection is this, what he's come to do to restore humanity and to reconcile fallen creation that's in rebellion with the Creator. And all of this, and can see then with this coming back again out of the dust and awaking to life. And that's the image of Jesus, who is going to be there to bring forth this resurrection of the dead. He is the resurrection and the life, and that's the whole language of Jesus in John chapter 5, where he says, truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming. This is that language of time. In that day, at that time, an hour is coming and is now here, he says, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself, and he's given him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. And then he goes on to say that all of those who are in the tomb will hear his voice and come out. There will be those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. And again, this is what takes place at the end when he separates the sheep and the goats. But here we also need to note that they're already sheep, they're already goats before they come to the judgment. They already either have died in Christ or died outside of Christ. And in Christ, there is no condemnation. We are a new creation. We have peace with God because we've been justified by faith.
With about 2 minutes here, a final thought on the sealed book and Christ in the Old Testament, with only about 2 minutes here.
Well, this is where we come to the end of Daniel, where you're talking about the incarnation and the coming kingdom of the Christ and how he will bring life where there is death. And then he says, now seal this book up, Daniel, because it needs to be held on to until that time. Now, in the book of Revelation, you have exactly the opposite. Instead of the book being sealed, the book is opened. The truth is revealed because now we are post-incarnation. We're post-crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension. And you'll see this specifically in Revelation chapter 5, where they're trying to find somebody who's worthy to break the seals. And they start to weep, but then behold, there's the Lamb, the one who is the Lion of the tribe of David, the tribe of Judah, the root of David. He has conquered, and he can open the scroll and seven seals. So this whole sealing of the book in Daniel is revealed in the incarnation in Christ, in the message of the apostles of who Jesus is, what he came to do, to die in our place so that we would live eternally in him. And then John's revelation ends on the opposite note of Daniel's revelation. He's not supposed to seal up this book, but he's to proclaim this book so that everybody would know. Do not seal up the words of this prophecy of the book, because the time is near. It's now. It's here. And so you preach Jesus, him crucified, resurrected, ascended. He is the life, the resurrection. Now.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico. He hosts a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. You'll find a link to it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Brian, thank you very much for being our guest.
Great to be here, Todd.
Folks, how would you like to receive a new Christmas Arch book? It's brand new from the Arch Series that is celebrating its 50th anniversary, if I'm not mistaken, the Arch Series of books from Concordia Publishing House. The new Christmas book is called O Bethlehem. Now, everyone who records their answer to the question, Issues Etc., What Does This Mean?, at the Issues Etc. comment line before Friday, November the 20th, will receive this new Arch book absolutely free. The comment line, 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. Record your answer to the question, Issues Etc., What Does This Mean?, before November the 20th, and leave your answer right there. Now, you don't have to worry about making any mistakes or starting over, anything like that. We will edit out all of the comments and all the mistakes, make you sound great. The listener with the best answer will also receive our limited edition Here I Stand long sleeve t-shirt. Now, we're going to play these answers during our live 24-hour broadcast of Issues Etc. 24 Friday, November the 20th through Saturday, November the 21st. So you're really helping us produce Issues Etc. 24 as well. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll talk media coverage of the War on Christmas with Terry Mattingly and Christian novels with Katie Schuerman. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and lay people worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy promotes confessional Lutheran theology through conferences, scholarly exchanges, and publications like Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up for their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com.
When you need a friend, you have a friend in Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, and friends among his people at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Arnold, Missouri. At Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, we offer Christ-centered word and sacrament ministry, inspirational liturgical worship services, and faithful preaching and teaching. Sunday worship services are at 9 a.m. Sunday school and Bible class are at 10:30. We also have an excellent Christian preschool. We invite you to join us. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, 2211 Tenbrook Road, Arnold, Missouri, 636-296-1292.